Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the gospel, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heaven and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Then looking further in Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, once again for the wonderful, the powerful, the blessed gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that as we take time in your word, we're spending time with you. As you speak words of life, blessing, peace, grace, strength, healing, and so much more. Father, more and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And Father, more and more, help us as the church to come to realize, Lord, that your word is the key to everything. Help us, those that are in leadership in the church, more and more to realize that as we help people come to fall in love with your word, more and more, that's such a big part of the journey. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word more and more as a lifestyle and as the church. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your commands. Thank you so much how your ways are so good. And thank you so much for the guidance that you give us and the Holy Spirit that you give us and the wisdom that you give us to understand more about you. Father, we take these moments to just sit and contemplate more about your character and to acknowledge that your way is best, even if we don't completely understand it, even if there are still things that we have to just obey in just trusting you, Father. I ask that you'd grow our faith to walk more in your ways. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Want to continue to remind you that as we do share some of the articles that we share, the Christian education and discipleship articles. Remember, one of our goals is that we get them into your hands so that you can use them for your personal spiritual growth, also tools to disciple your family, but also tools to email them, forward them to family and friends, to fellow church workers, whoever else the Lord puts on your heart. Remember, it doesn't cost much of anything to forward something by way of email. And so these are tools we want to put in your hands for you to use and to share far and wide, both for the work of evangelism and discipleship. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We're blessed and very honored to have with us in studio today Dr. Andy Miller. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Miller, how are you today?
Pastor Joseph, thanks for having me. It's so great to be with you again.
Honored to have you once again. And Dr. Miller, I'm going to ask you if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself to our listeners, to share what you feel like it'd be helpful for them to know about you. And then we want to talk about the work and the mission of Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to do that. Well, my name's Andy Miller, and I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am married to Abby, and I have three children, Andy the fourth, Titus, and Georgia. They are 17, 15, and 13. I've had the privilege of serving as the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary since this past July. Before that, I was the academic dean for 3 years. Before that, I served in local churches for 15 years. At that time, I served with the Salvation Army as a pastor in the Salvation Army. And now I'm a elder in the Global Methodist Church. I don't serve a church at this moment, but I moved my credentials there. I'm excited by the work that's happening in that emerging denomination at this time, and our seminary serves that denomination. I enjoy sports. I've written a few books. I love to preach. I feel called to preach. I'm so thankful that God opens up doors for me to preach. I shouldn't have said sports ahead of preaching, but I did. I love to read the Bible. I love serving faculty and students, and so I love my time with my family. You know, you read that Psalm 19, and there's two things that connected me right with that. First, like it came, you read it over the just before I heard that great song by Anointed, I think is the name, Send Out a Prayer. Boy, that took me back to listening to that CD as a kid. And then my family has memorized Psalm 19. And you read a little different version than we memorize. But when I hear it, I hear the rhythm. My wife's a percussionist, and so she has to say it with a certain rhythm. The laws of the Lord are perfect, refreshing the soul. And so I loved hearing that. I'm so thankful for those words and the life that that comes with them.
Mm. You know, I would just mention in relation to Psalm 19, it's one of a few psalms that really delve into the wonderful gift and beauty of the Word of God.
Amen.
And, you know, I think of this that like, and I'm aware that different people would approach it this way, but I believe it to be correct to say two of the key themes in the book of Psalms are worship of God, but the wonderful gift of the Word of God. And of course, Psalm 119 especially delves in that powerfully, the wonderful gift of the Word. But that's not just a nice academic thing to talk about. It's so practical.
Isn't it?
Because nothing blesses us and our life like the Word of God, which is Jesus.
Yes, amen, amen.
And so I appreciate you sharing that. And it'd be good if parents had all their children memorize Psalm 19.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, and this won't seem too graphic, but I love this section. And your translation was a little different when I memorized.
New Living Translation.
Oh, I love New Living. But it's like, in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom running out of his chamber. So anyway, I love that that image. Like, I know I was excited to marry my wife, right?
That's right.
And that God has commissioned the sun to serve the earth. And so much even more so, God's taking care of us in a similar way. And like you said, so much of that comes through the way he's revealed himself through his word.
That's right. That's right. And in just a moment, I ask you to pray for our broadcast. But before we do, I would just mention this. You could spend a long time in Psalm 19 because even part of the implications there is that some of the blessings of the marital relationship between husband and wife as he's challenged with the world, that God uses the marital relationship to bless and empower him to run his race. And part of that is him having the intimate life with his wife that God calls him to. Now, see, that's all in Scripture.
It is.
And it's beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's instructive.
Right.
And people need to pay attention to it.
Amen.
Would you pray now for our listeners that they would just be wide open to receive any and everything the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast?
Absolutely. Today. Jesus, we are so thankful that you are with us, as you promised to always be with us. And as we meditate even on these two psalms, which Pastor Joseph has laid out for us, I pray that we'd see that your law, your word, is perfect. It's all that we need. And it is like, as it says in that psalm, like a champion ready to run the course. Like, you have provided all that we need. So I pray that as we move through this broadcast today, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And thank you for the promise that by your Holy Spirit, we can, because of your work in us, be pleasing in your sight. And you can make us more precious than gold, than much pure gold, than sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. We embrace that reality that you've revealed through your word as we enter into a deeper relationship with you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Miller. Dr. Miller, as it relates to Wesley Biblical Seminary, you know, if someone was to ask you this question, well, Dr. Miller, why is biblical in your name? Aren't all seminaries biblical? How would you respond to that question?
We're not being critical of other seminaries by saying that, but we are trying to emphasize what is absolutely foundational to who we are, that we believe God has perfectly revealed himself, just like we read in Psalm 19. He's perfectly revealed himself through the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And if that's true, we want our students to be connected to that reality. You know, sometimes now, of course, we provide a theological education, and many seminaries, many wonderful seminaries, are theological seminaries. But for whatever reason, God put it in the hearts of the founders of Wesley Biblical Seminary to emphasize that truth. And that's part of what's at the heart of who WBS is that we have emphasized the authority of Scripture. And we use the word inerrancy that some people are resistant to, but we believe God has so perfectly revealed himself. He's done that without any mistake in all that he intends and all that he wants, all that his word wants to do in the world. He's done that without mistake. And now we could get into the specifics of what that means and how we look at things that might appear to be errors, but what God is intending to do, he has done so perfectly. And so that's a part of the foundation of that's why we call ourselves Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you share with our listeners, from your perspective, what you would say as, not just as the president, but as someone who's representing the school, what would you say is the mission behind specifically Wesley Biblical Seminary?
Yes, we want to send out trusted leaders for faithful churches. Now, I used to say that the mission was developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, but I've started to change it. Now, I use some even old-fashioned language. Sometimes I'll say sending forth trusted leaders for faithful churches. But here's what I mean by that, is that we don't want to just exist just to develop them. We want to send them out into the church, and we send out a trusted leader who is ready to serve a church and a community. And that's an evangelistic task, but it's also kind of recognizes that there have been seminaries that have not done a good job with that. And many people don't trust seminaries or institutions of higher education. So we want people to know that a pastor who comes through WBS has learned how to study and read Scripture, understands the great tradition of the theology of the church throughout centuries, and is prepared for churches. Like, we believe we're called to serve churches. I've been tempted, or I've been presented with opportunities to grow the seminary in a way, maybe with some other programs that aren't connected to churches. But, and that might be a financially viable option for us, but it's not consistent with our mission. Mm-hmm. There are great programs that a seminary can do, but I want to ensure that WBS is sending out trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Andy Miller. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
When you breathe, the dead arise and the bones come back. back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls.
Music from Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Andy Miller. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Miller, would you tell our listeners, someone listening may be thinking to themselves, well, I'm planning to go to seminary. I want to get in touch with them. Share with our listeners how, or there may be someone who has no intention of going into full-time ministry, but thinks, maybe I want to take some courses. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch and who it is that you'd suggest prayerfully looks at attending Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Oh, Joseph, thank you so much for giving me that clear window in. I want people to come to WBS. We are a school that's ready to equip leaders. And I'm very particular with the language that I use there, that we are sending forth trusted leaders. And there are leaders in many ways who are connected to our seminary. Now, we want them, like we feel called to serve the church, but that certainly are people who are in full-time vocational ministry. Like their main job, their only job is serving in pastoral ministry. But many of our students are co-vocational students. Like they have another job. They don't necessarily need the income from a church, but yet they're able to serve in that capacity. Then on top of that, we also have people who are lay leaders in their church, and we have a variety of programs for them so that they could be a more informed, deeper Sunday school teacher or small group leader. So we want people to come to us, and we want to send out trusted leaders who get the full message of the gospel, and so that they're prepared to adequately and effectively communicate that. So it might be that people are sensing a calling to ministry. And most of the time, we have people who come to us. It's different from, say, a undergraduate education where people, okay, I turned 18, I graduated high school, I need to go to college. Most of our students want to be at seminary. And they have, like, the triune God has intersected himself in their life in such a way to say, they need to go do this. And so I'm privileged. In any class that I've taught, I have students who want to be there. Now, they always don't like the assignments I give them. but ultimately, those things are meant to equip them. Now, we're accredited by all the major accreditors that are needed for these type of things, so that when we offer a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, they have to meet a certain level of academic rigor. But if people aren't interested in writing papers or doing assignments, we have something called the Wesley Institute, which is a 9-month program that starts in August, and it walks people through every book of the Bible in that 9 months with seminary professors teaching. So, for instance, we have one of the world's experts on the book of Hebrews on our faculty. Now, he's an expert on other things as well, but that's his main area. So he will teach one of those weeks on the book of Hebrews, and then he'll also teach a few other New Testament books. And then we have something else called the Wesley Institute Theology Track, where we do something that also for 9 months, no test, but just people have access to this content, and it gives them an opportunity to look at theological disciplines or like areas of specific study. Say they study soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. They look at apologetic tools that they can have. So they can find out more about that stuff, all of those areas, from our academic degrees at wbs.edu.
Okay. And so people both know who are already interested in coming to WBS or others that just want to explore, they go to that same website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Say the website one more time.
WBS.edu. And we'll have some people ready to reach out to you. Most of the time, it's like through something like this, word of mouth. Particularly now, we've had exceptional growth in the last year and a half. We've gone from 150 students to more than 750 students. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is like, maybe sometimes what happens is a preacher comes and takes a few classes with us and all of a sudden starts preaching better. and sometimes my favorite people who come up to me and talk are our spouses who say, I'm so glad my spouse came here because they're preaching so much better. Mm-hmm. But what happens then in that context is people say, well, what's going on? Like, how'd this happen? Mm-hmm. Well, I started taking classes at WBS and we're available 100% online. Now, we have an in-person function at our campus, and we have students who come to our campus at WBS, but most of our growth has come as people have just got on Zoom, and they engage with our faculty, and they work through their studies that way. So it's really something that is student-focused. Like, we're able to come to students where they are and help serve them and help them develop. Now, again, it's not easy. Like, we do, we think that the gospel deserves our attention. And studying scripture, you know, I want people as best they can to get as close as they can to what the authors intended. And that takes work. And we're going to push you. But ultimately, you're going to be stronger and better equipped to serve the world and the church.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Miller, let me ask you this question, too. Like, you know, in the Word of God, something that's very powerful, there's a very sad side of the story in scripture where it speaks of, it's in Second Chronicles as well as elsewhere, but the story of how that King Josiah in his reign, they rediscover the Word of God.
Yes, yes.
And they bring it to him, and he's heavily impacted as he hears the Word of God and seeks to begin to adjust his reign as king to what he's learned. You know, we live in a society where, again, we have the Bible in our homes, in our culture, but there is a sense in which sometimes it may appear that sometimes the church may seem like it's lost the Word of God. I want to ask you to talk about that. And also, you've mentioned you're part of the Global Methodist Church.
Yes.
And why there was a need for a rise to that. Would you talk about the whole idea of the importance of rediscovering the Word of God as an individual believer?
Yes.
Or denominational family, or as the church as a whole?
Yeah. So WBS, while we are a non-denominational school and we have dozens, if not more than 100 students who come outside of the Wesleyan tradition, we come within this tradition of the Wesleyan revival or the evangelical revival of the 18th century. Now, one of the things that's happened in that tradition as it institutionalized, particularly with the formation of the United Methodist Church in 1968, it started at its foundation with theological pluralism at its center, like kind of just getting along with anybody who would come in and just having that as the foundation. And then, even though not too long after that, they affirmed the authority of scriptures as it relates to doctrines of human sexuality, the way scripture speaks clearly on these subjects in 1972. But sadly, what happened across the years is that there was a lack of enforcement. Oh, enforcement's not a good word. Discipline is a better word. Mm-hmm. To ensure that if this is who this body has agreed to be, that there needs to be indeed a structure put in place that if somebody diverts from the clear teachings of Scripture that the church has affirmed, there needs to be accountability. And so the United Methodist Church sadly moved away from that, so much so that they, not long ago, about 10 years ago or so, I might have that number wrong, elected a lesbian bishop. According to its own rules, she shouldn't even be in ministry. So they had diverted from God's word. So this led, there was a movement within the United Methodist Church of several groups. One was called Good News, another was called the Confessing Movement, that was really trying to renew the United Methodist Church, but sadly got to a place politically within a denomination where that wasn't going to happen. So as a result of that lack of faithfulness to what God had clearly said, the Global Methodist Church broke off. And I say broke off, it should be stronger than that. Essentially, what is being said is this isn't a schism. Essentially, that because the United Methodist Church is no longer faithful to God's word, the essential claim is that they are no longer a part of the universal church. So there needed to be a church that emerged for this tradition. So the Global Methodist Church has come about. I moved my credentials to that group, and I had a sense that they would be faithful. and that they would be a good expression of classic Wesleyan theology. And I think that is the case. And so now there are, I think, close to 4,000 churches globally that have left, most of them, the United Methodist Church, and joined the Global Methodist Church.
Now, would it be accurate to say, too, that like what part of what was happening is there were churches that were leaving the United Methodist Church just independent and then formed the Global Methodist, or did it really, it was a split?
It happened simultaneously. Now, there are many churches that left the United Methodist Church. I think close to 8,000 have left. Mm-hmm. So as I said, 4,000 approximately, I'm using just approximate numbers here, have joined the Global Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. But that means about half of them haven't. Mm-hmm. And some of them have stayed independent. Some have joined other networks. There's a Congregational Methodist, Independent Methodist, like a whole host. Some have joined the Free Methodist Church. So they've connected to another denomination. But some have remained completely independent, which is something that I'm cautious about. The essence of Methodism is connected to what's called connectionalism, that we're a part of a wider body for accountability and support. And so to be unconnected to that accountability structure, I think, goes against the very essence of what it means to be Methodist. But that's another story in some part. But it's an exciting time. And this is a part of the growth of WBS. That WBS, we were never approved to train pastors for the United Methodist Church for 50 years.
Okay, let me ask you a tough question here, okay?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I wish I knew. I wish it was clear. You know, some of these things happen in dark rooms around board tables that we don't know. My gut is that we were newer, and many of these schools had been formed, and they had a body within the church that approved seminaries. Mm-hmm. Well, they have, and it happens to be that body called the University Senate was made up of all the leaders of those academic institutions, other seminaries. And so they weren't really keen on letting a new seminary in, and particularly one that emphasized the inerrancy of Scripture and the doctrine of holiness. They might have thought we were, this is my assumption, and maybe I'm wrong, a little too conservative, because we had all the academic credentials that were needed, PhD faculty, accredited by the Association of Theological Schools. There was nothing that was keeping us from serving that denomination except for politics and our adherence to classic Wesleyan theology.
Mm-hmm. So being biblical, yes. It was, in a sense, maybe you were too biblical.
I think that's right. Now I say the fact that we weren't approved for 48, 49 years, I see it as a badge of honor. that it's okay. And it's okay that we weren't approved there. But now, with the emergence of Global Methodist Church, we made sure that we were connected relationally to them. But also, when the time came for them to look for seminaries, they're not going to start a seminary. They're just going to use partners like us, non-denominational schools, which I think is good. That means I need to be accountable to the church. I need to provide, forgive the business language, a product that's going to serve that church. And so, what that did, as soon as they had approved seminaries, we were in the first six seminaries and the first one to provide what's called a course of study in that program. Well, it was amazing. We've had more than 500 Global Methodist Church pastors come through our doors in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. Currently, I have 430 Global Methodist Church pastors. Now, that's something for our school because we never had more than 150 people. Mm-hmm. So it's an exciting moment for us. But most importantly, it's an exciting moment for what God is doing in the world through what John Wesley said, called the people called Methodist.
Would you take time now to pray for individual believers as well as the church as a whole to recognize the need to seek to be biblical in the way you approach anything, approach all of life, period?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Joseph. Yeah, Jesus, we come to you now, aware that you are the giver of all good gifts. As it says in James, everything that is good and perfect comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Your word doesn't change. We're so thankful for the clarity of your word and the way it sustains us. And I pray for churches right now that are dealing with issues that are difficult, sometimes relationally significant and challenging. I pray that you give them wisdom as they think through those issues biblically. I pray that you help churches to know how to come to Scripture and to lean into the clear ways you've revealed yourself there. Give us wisdom as churches to be able to find applicable ways to serve the people you've called us to in our communities. I pray that you'd help seminary leaders to be in strong positions, and that as the seminaries go forward, they would send out faithful pastors who serve faithful churches that serve the world and represent you as embassies of your kingdom in their communities, so we can see truly the way you're renewing all things, all these good things that are from you. We pray and we say this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for the opportunity you give us as believers to be students of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word. And Lord, more and more, help us to recognize that as we spend time reading and meditating on your word, you're molding us, you're shaping us to become more and more like you. Father, we ask that you'd move in our lives in such a way that all of us would fall more in love with your word and recognize that so much good, so much growth, so much empowerment happens in our lives as we read and study your word and allow the Spirit of God to minister that truth to our minds, our spirits, our entire beings. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. And more, help us to be the doers, the hearers and the doers of your word you would have us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, share your website one more time.
Yeah, wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary.
All right. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Andy Miller, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Andy Miller. He's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. One more time, Dr. Miller, if someone wants to get in touch or learn more about the seminary, tell them how they can do it.
Oh, yes. I'd love for them to check it out. Our website is wbs.edu. That's Wesley Biblical Seminary, wbs.edu.
All right. And so you're the author of a number of books, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think.
And I think you said your most recent book is the Book of Jude. I want to just mention something that's kind of a little bit interesting to think about. You know, James and Jude were brothers of Jesus. And I wonder if when they were kids, they thought to themselves sometimes, let's see if we can figure out a way to get to cause Jesus to get a whooping. We keep getting in trouble. He never gets whoopings, you know?
That's right.
I wonder the struggles they had of being brothers to the Messiah.
Yeah,
you know?
So, no.
But tell us about your most recent book.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's interesting, even you bringing that up. One of the things that's a challenge is that I think even the fact that you just said that, I imagine there are people all over the country and world who hear your voice saying, Jesus had brothers? What do you mean? And that in part comes because our friends in the Roman Catholic tradition have kept the doctrine. One of their Marian dogmas is the perpetual virginity of Mary, of Jesus, perpetual virginity of Mary. And so they assume also that it is impossible for Jesus to have siblings. But the biblical witness is pretty clear on this subject. Multiple times in the Synoptic Gospels, there's a list of Jesus' brothers along with Mary. Then in John 7, there's this interesting scenario where the brothers of Jesus come to him and ask him, they kind of like almost make fun of him, if you're so good, why don't you come and do this in a more public way? And then the last line of that paragraph in the English translation says, for even his brothers didn't believe in him. Mm-hmm. So we can assume that while Jesus was operating in his public ministry, that his brothers, there's a whole list of them, James and Jude are the ones who are most well known. And it's interesting, you might even see in some portions of scripture, it might say Judas. But in Greek, Jude and Judas are the exact same thing. It's just a translation matter. And it's interesting, I think that that probably has come about the history of translation there because, you know, there's this other guy named Judas who wasn't exactly a model Christian citizen. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be part of why Jude is called Jude. But in Greek, it's the exact same thing. Or it might be in an American context, similar for somebody calling you Joe and Joseph or me, Andrew and Andy. So so there's a little bit of that. But we do know that they came to Christ and they were seemingly present in the upper room at Pentecost. Then there are various other places where they're mentioned in Paul's letters as well. So we know of Jude in this way. But what's interesting to me is that Jude doesn't bring up his own contact, his own relationship to his brother, his big brother. He doesn't use that as a place of authority. Mm-hmm. Instead, he comes in and he says, I'm a servant of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, he's also a brother of Christ. Mm-hmm. But then I've often wondered with the book of Jude, my experience before I started to study it, so it's these 25 verses of the Bible, sometimes one page in the Bible, and I'm on my way to Revelation, probably as I'm getting there, reading the book of Revelation. And then it's just a little bit of a shock because there's some funny little things in the book of Jude. It pulls on some intertestamental data that isn't familiar to our ears, and it can just seem like a little weird book. Mm-hmm. But if we get behind that, Jude has a message for the church today that's incredibly relevant. And I read one author who said every time there's revivals, the book of Jude is rediscovered.
That's interesting to think about, too. And, you know, just the fact that there are two books by Brothers of Jesus. And interesting, as you just alluded to, neither one of them really refer, you know, they refer to just that what you would think is authority.
Right.
Well, Jesus, who's my brother, you know, just something like that. You know?
It's other sources where we get the idea that, or we understand that James is the brother of the Lord, as it indicates, like say, for instance, in Acts 15. So it's really interesting to see this tradition come through. And as you read that, you actually, Richard Bauckham, who's a scholar I admire from Cambridge, and I think he would that might scare some people, but he's somebody who has done research, I think, that would fortify people's faith. He suggests that what we see in James and Jude is an idea even of the sources that might have been around Nazareth Judaism. So the type of Judaism that Jesus would have grown up with. Hence, even in one place in Jude, he sounds like his big brother to me. He says, woe to you. You know, like there's these clear resonances with other places. But there's some interesting things in this call that Jude has. He says he was planning to write another letter. He said, I wanted to write about the salvation we share, but now I have to call you to contend for the faith once for all delivered to saints. And then he says, I'm doing that because there are those who have secretly slipped in amongst you.
Right.
So there's a threat within the life of the church. And it's in that context for people who have been unfaithful to God's revelation that Jude says, you need to contend. You need to be ready to fight.
Mm. Well, you know, in relation to that, too, and I'm going to ask if you'll take time specifically to pray about this specifically. You know, we live in a culture where obviously the kingdom of darkness has attacked marriages tremendously.
Yes.
And there's such a need for, I believe, the church to do so much more to teach and preach about marriage. And I think of this from my perspective pastorally. Lots of young adults, they're not getting married at all.
Mm.
And then for some that are married, well, some that instead of marrying, they're just living together. And now, of course, a lot of them don't go to church, but some of them go to church.
Yes.
A lot of them go to the church. In fact, I know in my years pastorally, several times deal with a situation, which again, you deal with it carefully and prayerfully.
Right, right.
A couple's coming and they seem to love Jesus. They just never got around to getting married, you know. Well, there's a need for the church to really endorse the institution of marriage.
Amen.
Biblically, to pray for it, to teach and preach about how you do it. Because again, sadly, another part of my experience is people that marry and had no counseling whatsoever, just assumed, well, I'll know what to do.
Wow.
And come to find out once they're married, no, they didn't know what to do. So would you pray?
Yeah, no. That's part of why I'm interested in Jude. Now, it doesn't come out with as clear of language about for the people in the life, in the church. But as a pastor, I began to see that Jude gave me clear scriptural ways to talk about marriage and to talk about sexuality. And I think preachers need to look for clear ways to address what is going on with the way God has, what way people have moved against God's revelation. And some of that revelation is through creation, through the clear ways of way he has designed our bodies, the complementary nature of our bodies, meaning the bodies of men and women, in part, Pope John Paul II said this, are a theology in themselves. Like they show the complementary way that men's bodies and women's bodies are almost incomplete of themselves, but yet together they reveal something. And this is, so I actually encourage pastors to think about preaching from Jude. And you could use my book as a way onto that. I'm just trying to give a resource here, but you can go to my website, andymillerthird.com. That's andymillerIII.com. And to get that book, or even I have a course on Jude that's available that could help people work through this called Contender. But what happens is clearly the examples that are used in Jude are Sodom and Gomorrah. Then there's also example of the angels in Genesis 6 coming down and being with the daughters of earth, of the daughters of men. And then there are other examples here where God's revelation through his word are being rejected. And in such a way that leads Jude to say, no, this is something that is infesting this church, and I'm calling you to contend.
Mm. Well, our time is just about gone. Would you just take a moment specifically to pray for the church, that the church would really help to make marriage what God would have it to be.
Yeah, and I didn't address that as much there. Forgive me, but I think that's at the heart of what Jude is, and that is, I'll pray for that exactly. Yeah, as best I can. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for the way you have revealed yourself through our very bodies, and we thank you for the institution of marriage. This, I believe, Lord, is something that you have put in place before there was ever a politician, before there was ever a constitution or a government, that the institution of marriage is something that you honor and that you have for the good of one of the commands that you have given in Genesis, to be fruitful and multiply. And the best place for kids to be is in a home with a mother and a father who are nurturing them and providing distinct offerings to those children that only a mother and a father can give. So I pray you'd help churches to strengthen marriage, that they would think about the way that they're preparing people to be married, that they would have premarital courses, that they would preach on marriage, give pastors courage to talk about these subjects that are so important in the life of your church and who you're calling your people to be. I pray that the clarity of your word would be something that would enrich pastors and churches going forward. We say this all to the glory of our triune God, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for every marriage represented in our listening audience. And thank you, Lord, for the institution of marriage in the body of Christ. Father, anoint the church with a fresh anointing to help us to be effectively in preaching and teaching in such a way that people are coming to understand your revelation of what marriage is to be and how it's to be carried out, as husbands, as wives, as men and women of God. Help us to be and do all that you want us to be and do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, our time is about gone here. Dr. Miller, share that website one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd love for people to check out if they're interested in going deeper in their faith. We have a variety of ways to do that at Wesley Biblical Seminary, and our website is wbs.edu. And people can find out about my books and some of the ministry I have related to the my own podcast and that type of thing at andymillerthird.com. That's andymilleriii.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being with us today. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in the Word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, help me to read your Word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to connect with you. I'd like to share by way of email some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. If you gave your life to Christ, we want to make that connection. Again, joseph@afr. Thanks for listening. And again, Dr. Miller, thank you so much for being with us. One more time, that website, if someone wants to learn more about WBS.
WBS.edu. Thank you, Joseph. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Please pray much for Dr. Miller in the work and mission of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.